Thank you. I feel kind of tall, very unusual. So I want to thank Perla and her sweetheart, Amory Linares. This is my first PowerPoint. I've given a gazillion talks in my life, but never, it just spewed out of me. This one actually has structure. So we'll see how Paul G. does in structure. He usually struggles with it, but and also this could be a wild ride if there's any Newtonians in the crowd, because this is when we started talking about anybody want to share, and I said I would, and I said, "What's your topic?" Just came out. Consciousness matters more than matter. In my whole life. In my adult life has been spent exploring that world, exploring the mystic world, the world of possibility, the world of just this territory that our minds struggle sometimes to travel. You know, everybody know the zipper, the fair ride, the zipper, where you got to get in and you get locked in. So you got about 30 seconds. You can leave right now, or all the doors are locked. I got you for 55 minutes, so it's going to be a little bit of a ride, but I appreciate you hopping on the zipper with me. Ready? Uh-oh. Oh, I got to do it here. What's up here, crowd? Isn't there? Oh, there we go. Wrong button. Anybody know what this is? No, this is Paul G's brain on an organized level. No, but this is crop circle. Everybody know, does anybody not know about crop circles? Oh, they're the most amazing thing on the planet. There's over 10,000 of them that have come to our world to share with us their wisdom. This thing, these right here, oh, look at this. I got this device. These little levels right here, they're all 80 feet. That's where the sprayer and the tractors travel, through those little lines. This thing is over 800 plus feet long. Came in a stormy night, where there was one of the stormiest nights of that season. Raining all night. There was people camping over here. Boom. They wake up in the morning. They did a whole book. They wrote a whole book on this one. It's called The Milk and Angel, 2001. In England, and it's just amazing. Again, 10,000 things come. This right here is almost 80 feet across right there. And the amazing thing, this is not on flat ground. And these things are geometrically so intensely perfect from the sky. Anyway, that's pretty amazing stuff. To me, and the crazy thing is, no university in 35 plus years has ever looked at it. Why? Because if you go into the mystic world, you're dead. You're dead in the world because you can't feel it. You can't touch it. That's what I'm talking about, matter. When matter, if you can't touch it, it drives people crazy. That especially if they're in the Newtonian world. And you touch it, boom, there you go. You're down. Because they won't. You can't get the money. You can't get the research. If anyone, and it's everywhere. Anyway, my next one. Dang it, I've got a button issue here. So this one. Came, you see this up here? This is Stonehenge. And there's people there. During the middle of this day, this thing showed up. An airplane drove by, took a picture. It wasn't there. 45 minutes later, there it was. Boom. And this is what the people over there, they actually have guards on duty. Nothing. Never seen anything. And this is an amazing, one of the most famous ones also. But it's pretty exciting. So you ready? We're going in. Okay, this is my first teacher, my mother. I call it Hillbilly Wellness. Anyway, she struggled because she saw the world in a way that the world was changing so fast. The TVs were coming, the microwaves, the non-organic foods, the pop machines in the schools, and she just got really beat down. I didn't know this was coming. So anyway, but she just kept going, and she again is why I'm probably a chiropractor today. So anyway, the power that made the body knows how to heal a body, and it happens no other way. This wisdom she taught me as a young fella, and you either had to, our whole gig was good water, nature, sleep, get outside. I don't care, it's 35 below zero right now in North Dakota. And you're getting out and you're building some forts. You're getting out there, get out of my house. And it's a lot of tough love, and you better have a bone sticking out of your skin, and it better be bleeding, or you're not going to the hospital. We never had one aspirin in our house. The only thing we ever had was Vicks. That was the big thing. Vicks, you can put a little on your chest. And this it was all about that. Basically, her focus was that you were born with everything you needed, and all you had to do was water it. It's like a seed. You just got to water it. You just got to give it a little nutrition. You got to give it a little love, and you're on your way. The chiropractic principles matched up with those hillbilly wellness principles. She grew up in the Turtle Mountains, 500 feet, the highest mountain in that process. And there's a lot of hillbillies up there, and they're tough. That's 10 miles from the Canadian border. So the chiropractic principles, the first one is there's universal consciousness, universal intelligence in all things. Second one, there's intelligence, that same universal intelligence is within us. That universal intelligence connects a sperm and an egg, and 280 days later you have a baby. You cut yourself, and that cut just heals on its own. It's not the medicine that cuts it. It heals it. It's not the Band-Aid. Maybe a mom's kiss or a hug might heal it more than anything. But your body does it constantly. You break this bone over here, and in 6 weeks that thing is all fixed. This bone over here also is replacing itself. This happens all the time, every single day, brand new. You get new glands in your stomach every few hours, some of them. All your skin constantly replaces itself. People say, well, you're reborn every single day. And the skin just happens to be the largest organ in the body. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you got the this process of uniting this consciousness, this wisdom, this divine essence that we are, this invisible matter that I love so much, is part of who we are. And it's this connection between matter and consciousness. It's who creates the matter? Who creates the body? Where does this energy come from? And when you're dead, that ain't happening anymore. It starts to rot within minutes. It's the consciousness in there, the wisdom, the power, the light, the whatever. It's all invisible. Can't touch it, can't smell it, can't feel it. Drives people crazy. And they don't pay too much for that. Can't make a lot of money in that world. Okay, you got the spine and the nervous system is part of that. As a chiropractor, the wisdom that this brain, a dead person has a brain, so the brain's not running the show. The nervous system's there, and it is the wiring system of the body. Our purpose as a chiropractor is just to facilitate that flow. If there's interference in that, we're setting it free. That's all we do. I get so many people tell me, oh, you're the greatest, you saved me. I've never saved anybody in my life. I've never healed anybody in my life. And I am constantly saying that in my office, probably 20 times a week. I didn't do anything. I'm taking no blame for all your food, crap food you've eaten, all the drugs you've taken, all the medications you're on. That's none of my stuff. That's all yours. All the mental stuff you're still hanging on to from something that happened 20 years ago, that's not me. And that creates their life. That's part of where their body is. All I'm doing is setting you free. So I take no credit. I take no blame. I'll love you. I'll help you. And we'll set you free. But it's all you. This is if I can offer anything today, it's empowerment. You have the power within you to change your life every single moment. And this is hopefully what, when we move through this, we can, this is where it goes. If the PowerPoint people did the job, they'll do it. Although I can't blame them for the content, only for the process. This is all me. Oh, here it is. Remember your roots. In your roots, here it is, where we're from. Universal power, wisdom, it created the universe. and it's inside us. This is so we're going to honor all health perspectives. This is why we're existing today. This is why this group started. We've been meeting for 2 years. It's like we're all looking at something different. It's a spear, it's a snake, it's a tree, a rope, a wall, a fan. We're seeing it from a different perspective. And the elephant in this room is there's a potential war on spirit right now. We're on the edge of a natural human being illegal. Being illegal to be a natural human. That you cannot be born on this planet like my mother, who never touched that world, and not be able to do that. That's potentially illegal. We got to wake up to this process. And this is I looked this word up called spiritualism, a spiritualist. And it says they believe that there is the prime element of reality. Spirit has to be a part of that. Doesn't mean you have to be religious. Doesn't mean you be that part of it. But I believe it's there. And this is one of the craziest things that happened to me this year. One of my MD buddies struggled with what I was saying on the radio about a natural human not wanting to choose to get this thing injected in me at all and wanting to be in that space and wanting to have the freedom to do that. And he really struggled with that. He was fine if I did it on my own. But if I was sharing that with other people, that wasn't cool. It's called censorship. It's called there's only one way to do this process. So we had a talk. I said, let's sit down and have a talk. We talked for about 2 hours, and we struggled a little bit, and we went back and forth. And at the end of this conversation, I said, do you believe you're a spirit? And he said, nope. I said, do you believe you were a spirit? Nope. Do you believe there's life after this death? Nope. I said, what do you believe in? And he says, I believe in science. We just see it a little different. We're looking at a different part of the elephant. So, science is, to me, I found this great definition, the observation, identification, description, experimentation, investigation, and theoretical explanation of phenomenon. The American heritage. We are just observing the world, and we learn as we move along here. We learn as we go through this process. And it creates, right now in the world, we have this polarization that's happening. The scientific views, we see a different part of the elephant. And that used to be kind of okay. But there's a lot of money in disease. There's a ton of cash in disease. There's not that much in health. Because most health is actually real health, where you create it yourself, is free. You can get out of nature, you can take a walk, you can do a little exercise, you can breathe some beautiful air, drink some great water, take a fast, that you want to see the cheapest thing in health? Do a fast, water fast for 7 days. That's pretty damn cheap. Go on a trip after that. So you got the big pharma and the natural human. This is why I get accused of this all the time, and I know some of you in this room do too. It says, I am not anti-pharma. I'm pro-natural human. I am not anti-vaccine. I'm pro-evolution. I love these bacteria and viruses. They're part of our world. And we'll talk about that later with Zach Bush. He's one of the most biome experts in the world, one of the biggest biome experts in the world. Talks about the amount of viruses and bacteria and how much they change and how fast they change. There's no way a laboratory can ever keep up to it. He always talks about the pig poop. He says that one little spoonful of pig poop changes so quickly, like within an hour, that it's uncountable amount of shifts and changes that happen. Well, these virus bacteria are our gifts to the world. There are gifts. They mutate and shift so fast, they're telling us what's going on out there. We've discovered now that there is no, and this is actually going to come on in a future slide, there's this genetic information that is exchanged amongst these viruses and bacteria are the only way we survive on this planet. It's the exchange of that information. And you have to come in contact with these. We can't run from them. Number one, we can't see them. Number two, you can't run from them. They're everywhere. And I'm not anti-doctor, anti-MD. Do I think that they the medical pharmaceutical mafia or the pharmaceutical mafia has gives out too many prescriptions? Yeah. Because why? Because I'm pro-natural. If I just had my daughter go through a situation not too long ago and she was in emergency care. She went in and got some emergency care. Why? Because that's what they're for. That's what it's supposed to be for. And when the pharmaceutical world got into health care, long-term health care, that's where we started going down, especially in America. Over 50% of the pharmaceuticals in the world, the entire world, are consumed by 5% of the population, the Americans, 280 million. We gotta wake up. We're not even close to being the healthiest nation in the world. We're in the bottom, top in obesity. It's like 42%. And we're just heading in the wrong direction. What is it? They talk about autism is gonna be in the next, by 2050, it'll be 50% of the young males are gonna be born with autism. These are autoimmune diseases. Weren't around before these drugs started coming into our world. I'm not saying they haven't saved some lives. There's a lot of money in disease. And there is no settled science. That's the big word around there out there now. Settled science. So you want to talk about settled science? Here's one right here. The bloodletting used to be a scientific method. Lobotomy was right there. You talk about nursing. Breastfeeding. 100% of the children in the world were breastfed. In a 20-year period of time, the pharmaceutical mafia was able to get 95% of the women to quit breastfeeding their babies because they had something better. It's called formula. In fact, they made breastfeeding dangerous because you got the bacteria. Then they find out later, oh boy, that bacteria is exactly what those babies need. Crazy. But this is how they're able to twist it. And that's one of the biggest crimes ever committed. And then we had to start a LHA league just to get people to understand that breastfeeding might be good for you. This is all science. Science with Roundup. It's called the science of conventional farming. It looks really good. No weeds on that field. It looks beautiful, doesn't it? How about 20 years later, how does it feel? 30 years later, we have a biome that we have land that is completely almost non-existent. It's a desert. It doesn't have its microbes in there that it needs. This is the functioning of science. We only see one small piece of the puzzle. Was it talk about the brain is only like 10 to 20% that we even understand or that we're actually using? There is no settled science. It's called observation, experimentation, investigation. Theoretical, you're identifying, you're describing, and you're learning as you go. And I'm not saying that these airplanes aren't something that we really love to have and these computers, but our understanding of this to get into the world of the natural human is forcing people to do things that they might not want to choose to do, that's where the warfare on spirit comes in. All right. Are you a body and a spirit? We already talked about this. Are you a spirit and a body? This is, to me, one of the most vital parts of what it's like, how I run my life, how I see, how the questions I ask. I'm a spirit with a body. And the spirit actually makes the body. The wisdom, that intelligence, the new cells that keep coming in our, like the new blood cells that keep coming, the new skin, the new muscles, the new bones, new brain. So this whole body care, so this is where this vitalistic, holistic, mechanistic, allopathic process starts, where this shouldn't be a battle. This should be, the battle is over this process of long-term health and what healthcare is. This is a disease business that we got going on in America and in other parts of the world too. And the process of health is our responsibility. We're not what am I looking at here? I'm looking at, I need a little drink. Okay. I haven't seen the 10-minute signal yet. No. So we're okay? We're doing good. Okay, so this is, I'm just going to go through general, but from a holistic perspective, you're looking at, I ask the questions this time, all the time, said, when I'm having symptoms, does that mean, I lack symptoms, does that mean that you're actually healthy if you don't have symptoms? Again, dead people don't have symptoms. I don't know how healthy they are. Fevers. I was just reading a whole thing about fevers today, the gift of a fever, and what they do and how they help your body. The puking. If you're puking, your body's trying to get rid of some toxin. If you're sweating, if you have pimples coming up, if you have a rash on your body, your body's trying to release some energy. If you start to cry, the tears that are coming, this is energy flowing in our body. When I'm starting to feel not so good, I ask myself, what is my body trying to tell me? What is the divine wisdom trying to say here? And I'm not trying to stop these symptoms. And this is, again, you're only trying to stop these symptoms if you're in a life-threatening situation. Other than that, you might be saying, what can I do to help this flow? What can I do to get this moving? What can I do to have maybe even, well, with a fever, you might still want to get under a blanket and put it over you. To just, you know, that you got to listen to your body and listen to that wisdom within to see where it's saying. Let's see what it's saying. And again, healthcare, the real healthcare is free, most of it. Might be a little, if you want to get a massage, get an adjustment, do an acupuncture appointment. Those are all things to help the process. And again, you can have practitioners. There's a little bit of a split in the chiropractic world and the holistic world. Are you a holistic practitioner that uses natural products? Are you an allopathic or a more of a mechanistic form of a practitioner, and you're just using natural products? There is a difference. The consciousness of how we see health, it does matter. It does matter how your body reacts to it, to the process. And again, America is not the healthiest nation in the world, so I wouldn't be bragging about the things we do in that process. How do you find health defines your health? And again, this we've already talked about most of this, and a lot of this started back when Darwin and was here and talking about the whole, the world is basically fight or flight. Only the big boys win, only the ones that are the toughest, it's the only chance. So basically we're in an internal war and an external war. And this process of the germ theory and that kind of fit in the same area. And again, this is still a germ theory. Germs from a terrain theory, and this is still around, these two, this one just happens to win right now. It's in the head of the race because the whole pharmaceutical world has jumped on this one. If the germ theory was actually true, if you took a swab right now of your tongue and we put it in a petri dish, you'd be blown away what's in there. In fact, you couldn't count them. The amount of viruses and bacteria, there's 38 trillion bacteria in your body. And there's an uncountable amount of viruses. And just go have fun with the Zach Bush world. He knows a lot more about that world than I do. But the terrain theory compared to the germ theory, it's not the bugs. It's an example we used to use in chiropractic all the time. It says, if you've got a pile of garbage and you see a bunch of flies there and a bunch of maggots, are you blaming the flies? Did they bring the garbage? No, it's part of the whole process. The bacteria, the viruses, they're there not only to share information and share genetic changes in the world, but they also have the job of keeping that biome within our gut healthy so we can digest food and also different parts of when we have cuts and other certain processes. These bacteria and viruses are a part of our world, absolutely necessary for us to live. There was a Lamarck. Anybody ever hear him? He had a theory on the cooperative evolution, Garden of Eden. He was here 50 years before Darwin. And he had more of a view. And this is where I've said this for many years, my own personal process. The immune system is not an army. And I think this little point actually changes the way you see the whole world. The immune system isn't out there attacking viruses and bacteria. It's out there gathering information, taking that information, the DNA of that microbe as it's changing so fast, and integrating it into our own world. Shared genetic destiny. No wall between species. This isn't just one species. This is all species that is sharing the information in order for us to continue to thrive on this planet. The immune system is more about evolution, not warfare. And once we actually open up to that, this is when, oh, I could see this differently. I could see this, that I want to come into contact with viruses and bacteria. I want to kiss my dog. I want to ride the pig. I want to have manure fights with my brothers. And that was a wild time back in North Dakota. So Chief Seattle was actually correct in the saying that when, what we do to the web, we do to ourselves. There is no way that the amount of chemicals that we are using in the world is not going to come back and bite us. It already has, and it will continue to do that. The more that we dive into this vaccine world, which again, this is, again, I'm not anti-vaccine, I'm pro-natural. I'm pro-evolution. This is where I'm coming from. In 1986, a law was passed that it's the first time it ever happened, that no manufacturing companies of vaccines and the people delivering the vaccines could be sued. And they started a whole, I know, does everybody know about that in here? Yeah. And they started a whole process, and from that point, it went from about 7 vaccines to over 70 right now that you're recommended on the good list. Okay? So, to me, I actually made this up. You can write this down. Totally relaxed under spiritual truth. I have a big sign up in my office. It's all about trust. Trust in the wisdom within. Trusting the doctor within. Again, I'm not anti-doctor. I'm pro-doctor within. We talk about this all the time in the chiropractic world. Your doctor within will take care of it. Whoever that doctor is, female, male. Okay, oops.
Uh-oh, in trouble, going the wrong way. There
we go. False evidence appearing real, that's one of Paula's favorites. And fear produces chronic stress, trust promotes cellular growth. There's all kinds of studies out there now talking about our rebirth that happens all the time. Are we rebuilding healthy cells? And in the brain, they've really found that out, that if you're under constant stress, if you're under fear, if you're watching TV every day and you're watching the news, I guarantee you, your brain is starting to shrink. Because the promotion and the reproduction of these cells cannot happen if you're under stress. Fight or flight. On a regular basis, chronic stress. One of my favorite people, Joe Dispenza. It is a fact that thought alone can make you sick. And so that thought can also, or those thoughts can also make you well. It's automatic. It's been proven over and over. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I love the quantum world. And this is around many years ago. The quantum world jumped into ours, and the Newtonians really started squirming, and they're still squirming. But both of them can coexist, but the quantum world really brought them. It's like all of a sudden there's crop circles everywhere for those people, because it really opened us up to a world of like, wow, we thought we knew what was going on, but we really didn't. Quantum science suggests that existence of many possible futures for each moment of our lives, each future lies in the state of rest until it is awakened by choices made in the present. So the choices we make, the thoughts we think do make a difference, and they also change the matter. This is where we're going into that right now. It changes. We actually create our world, all of it, including our own body and the out. As we have the collective consciousness, also create the world. This Newtonian world over here, or this is what we thought it looked like. But when the quantum world came around, this is what we found out it was. It was like, again, This is only happens when we observe the world of the atoms and the electrons. This happens all the time. We're just a big ball of energy. And again, I don't have all that locked in my head. I don't need to have that all locked in my head. I grew up with my mom. It's always been a part of my world. So I don't necessarily need the understanding of this to know that we just live in this world and it's all perfectly unfolds as we think our life, as we subconsciously think our life. That's the one bummer about it. Most of it we're not conscious of, and we have to dig into that world. But this is basically what the quantum world looks like until you observe it, and then it shifts and grows into it. And this is where a big part of that I was talking about early. If it's not matter, it doesn't matter. And that's basically how the research has gone for the last 50 to 100 years. If they couldn't feel it, if they couldn't see it, or it was an outlier, like all of a sudden this stuff showed up, but they just threw it out in the research. Because it's like, it's something that just showed up, and it didn't quite work. And this same time period, when this quantum world came, these genes started going. Everybody, they thought they found the answer to everything in the gene world. They were going to bring all the genes in. They were going to label them all, and start manipulating them, and all disease would disappear. But they discovered, and we'll get into that a little bit more. And it was, again, easy to measure. This is that whole Newtonian world, and it's not so easy to measure here. And these two right here, experiments that were done, I think it's about 40, 50 years ago, it really blew everything out of the water. The twin photon one, they took two twin photons, they moved them 1,000 miles apart. And when they stimulated one photon, the other photon immediately started to react. And it realized, again, Chief Seattle had some connection there. The whole world is connected. All the species are connected. And we're now learning about the trees and the moss. They're all talking to each other. And this is one of this tunneling effect. There was studies done on these, I can't remember what plants they were, but they blocked the two plants or the different plants from each other. And somehow, quantumly, energetically, they were able to talk to themselves, to each other, and communicate. And I can't remember the study on it, but it was super unique that they were able to, they tried to block everything, and they found this with many different things, that the tunneling, basically, there's the wave comes through, and it ends up on the other side, and they have no idea how it does that. And we're still trying to figure that out. But the split slit, this is what they were the first time that they discovered that the observer, the experiment, or the scientist changes the outcome of the experiment. So your life, it changes it. And I tell you, if a drug company guy's coming in and they got giving you $1 million and you happen to be a university, I'm assuming that your observation does change the outcome of that study, especially if the head of the FDA used to be the head of this drug company, and now they're there. Oh, I hope that buddy that he used to have back at that university can change that outcome. That's more than the quantum observation. That's a little extra. So the superposition and the entanglement, they found out that the energies of these fields are so entangled that you can't even separate them. That's, again, moving into more of this possibility is just, and the superposition is what we were talking about with Greg Braden. He says these possibilities are endless until you observe, until there's a thought, until there's a conscious energy that comes in there, and it collapses into what we want to have. It's like our own computer. It's right here. You plug it in your program, and here you, this is what you get. You get it in your body, you get it in your life, you get it in your relationships, and you get it in your health, wellness. Okay, everybody up. We got to do a little dance before you fall asleep. Are you ready? Everybody? Let's go. Let's go. Thank you. We're not done yet. You're still going to suffer a little bit more. Okay, you can have a seat if you want. Oh, you thought we were going to dance more? Could we? Should we? Okay. I meant you still got to suffer through this whole process. Okay. You are not victims of your genes, but masters of your own fate. Bruce Lipton, biology belief, and the father of epigenetics. This is one of my favorite topics, and I reread his whole book, took 30 pages of notes in this last 2-3 weeks, and it just like... I just in my peace land again. I've had a rough two years as I was diving into energies and creating my field of chaos and stress and anger and all that process. It wasn't working for me. This world really taps in to the energy that we have. This genes, you are definitely that gene thing, that Newtonian thing is old school. It doesn't, it's just not there. There are so many studies, and we're going to go through these real quick. If you believe you can or believe you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. These two guys, do you think Henry Ford and Bruce Lipton would be together? Everybody know who Bruce Lipton is?
Oh, yeah.
All right, great book. Or great, he's written many books. My son met him in New Zealand. They hung out together, it was awesome. Okay, nature versus nurture. And nature is actually the genetic consciousness, and the nurture is the environment, the terrain, the possibility, how you're affected. So the top killers in America, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, lung issues, obesity is just part of that process. But these top killers are all multi-genetic complexes. It's not one gene. There's only about 2% of the single gene disorders in that we know of right now. It's like one gene gets turned on, boom, and that comes. So this is it is a lot more has to happen. In fact, Darwin when he was about to die, he admitted that he had made a mistake, that the environment had a lot more to do with our health and our wellness and what we expressed in the genetic world than he first said. Or for talk about. And this is a fun one. We think it's the genes. And the number of genes in a human is 25,000 genes. So is it in a rat, a lab rat. Have the same amount of genes. A worm, actually, it's only supposed to, I got it wrong in here, it's like 1,900 or 19,000. And a fruit fly, who's super complicated compared to a worm, has only about 15,000. And the funny part about this, well, here we go. I think we'll go over here. Is this, we're going to go right here. This is, again, what they did when they found out that the research wouldn't fit. And they would have these outliers. They'd just throw them out, especially in the drug world. They just throw those out. So, we'll just throw those out the door. Don't worry about that. But they called it dark matter. And they called it junk DNA. There was a ton of the DNA they had no clue about. They just said they couldn't figure it out. But they had these genes, and they worked with them. And you can. You can mess with physical life by using drugs, by using electronics, by using all kinds of things. You can mess with this world. But they just called it dark matter. Well, then they found out later that these are millions and millions of switches of epigenetics. Toot-toot. Just little switches that we switch on and off. Through the proteins is what they realized, because they used to think the nucleus, the center of the cell, was the brain. But they found out that wasn't the case. It's the membrane. It's the membrane that and they have all these unbelievable amount of proteins on them that cover the genes. They're covering the genes, and they have to be triggered from the outside. So they get triggered on the outside and then go in, and then they unfold, that protein unfolds and allows the gene to come up depending on the environment, the thoughts, and what we do in our life, the actions we take. It's pretty exciting.
Going the wrong way.
The genes, they need the environment. The DNA is part of that whole process. Again, 50 trillion cells in your body and 330 billion new ones each day. So awesome. Happens every day. We're reborn. We got a choice. And it says, so this is where they come in. It says, you don't blame if the children are struggling in the world and you got a whole group of children or individuals struggling. You don't blame the child, because that seed of that child. And when you see all these new diseases out there, it's the environment. It's not the children. It's the environment of that. We can blame ourselves, parents. We can, but the process of how they were brought up, if you took these siblings, just like they've taken these twins and studied these twins, when you take one twin and they have a different environment and compared to their other one, totally changes the diseases and the dysfunctions that person has in their life. So your environment does matter. The food you eat, the electronics you're around, the toxins you have, the parents you have. Sorry, Finn. Princehood is over. You didn't get that. Well, some people say you actually get to choose your parent. Oh, school system. Education, yes. The different types of education, the views of life, all of it. We're just, again, I'm not going to apologize to my kids, but they're just going to have to deal with it. Okay? Don't blame the cells. You blame the mind, the subconscious. It's like these cells are designed to thrive. Children are designed to thrive. It's like, are they in the right Garden of Eden? Are they thinking? What are they thinking? Are they living in fear? I guarantee you they are now, today. They're living in fear. And then does that change their biology? Absolutely. Does it change their outcome of their future? Absolutely. Can they change it? Yes. Sometimes it's not so easy, but you can do it. You see this here? I literally had a TV like that in North Dakota. I was 7 years old when we got our first TV in our house. It was like this. So it's simple. You have your basic. The genes are the program. Obviously, I'm a short white guy. I'm not playing in the NBA. Although Spud Webb did. Yeah. He was 5'5", but I don't know about today. He wouldn't make it. But there is ways that you can shift that. I can be a pretty good pickleball player, racquetball player, maybe even a hockey player if I would have started earlier. But all the adjustments and the tweaks are like the horizontal and the brightness. You remember the whole process with this? I mean, again, if I was really into computers, I could give a better example. But this one, I figure it could handle. But it shifts it. That is about epigenetics. We have the opportunity to shift and change and tweak the different processes. And here's this one study that talked about 500 gene expressions were changed through diet alone and lifestyle for prostate cancer patients in just 90 days. So they were able to change the genetic expression in just 90 days. And if there was more money in this world, if there was more money in health, and we could do more studies on this, we'd be definitely going in that direction. There's still a massive amount of resistance in the scientific world, drug world, scientific pharmaceutical world. So this is another fun one. Diet trumps genes. The mothers, these are the actual siblings, but these mothers had these genes called Agati gene, that had diabetes, they were yellow, they were fat. And so what they did is they fed the mothers supplements, and these were the two siblings. This is what happened with this sibling. They didn't express that gene. You're not stuck with everything your parents give you. So you can't blame us. Got that? For everything. Okay, this is one of my favorite things. Their telomerase is a enzyme in the body that gets triggered, and it's huge for cell production. And what they found out is that the stresses of prenatal stress, child abuse, domestic violence, PTSD, nutritional factors, EMFs, were all affected. Like basically cell production, just like I was talking earlier, the cell production of the brain and every part of it, the reproduction started really struggling. And what happens when you're not getting new cells coming in, you're going to create cancer, other sites of diseases, they're going to show up in your body, they're going to have all these things that happen because you are not rebuilding yourself on a healthy basis every day. And the crazy thing is, love was the main factor. There was nothing that even came close, that if the person felt self-love and also loved by one individual, it's totally shifted. They would not express that they weren't as affected by these things. There's many things they actually studied in it, but the main factor was love was the most powerful part of that process. So your beliefs changes your biology. When we realize this power, we hold the key to freedom. And again, this is about empowerment, about choice. And I know I am constantly in my office rewriting people. Oh, I got this bad knee. So when it happened? Oh, when I was in high school. How old are you? 45, 50 years old. They're still talking about this knee. And then there might be nothing wrong with that knee. And I've checked hundreds of them. We're like, oh, well, your knee's pretty good. Let's do something with it. Release that. And it feels good. Like, oh, wow, that changed it right away. But they might come back again. Oh, yeah, my old injury. It's constantly in there. If we're hanging on to this old stuff, including when we abused our kids, you know, accidentally abused our kids, actually, you know, just from the process of our own stuff, it's all changeable. It is all changeable. Most of it. Maybe if you're missing a leg, that'd be a little tough. Although those lizards know how to grow back some of their tails. If you choose to see the world full of love, the body will respond by growing in health. If you choose to see the world full of fear, the body's health would be compromised. It goes into protection and chronic stress mode. It's just automatic part of our world. Okay. Placebo effect. This is one of my favorite things, and this is just one situation. The funny part about the pharmaceutical world, I don't know what the actual rule is, but different, especially the psych drugs like depression and anti-anxiety, they only need like a few percent more than the placebo to get approved. You should look into this world. It's crazy. And there was like three of them. This one study, I didn't put it up here, but it talked about there was three of them that were exactly 50-50 for the placebo, and it still passed. And they're still being used today, and some of those are terrible. And they're paying me to do this today, so I can't say the names actually of the drug companies. So this knee surgery that was done, my buddy probably wouldn't like this study that much, but he, of course, he does replacements. This is an actual knee surgery. They did this one where they had a full surgery on one section of the group. Another group, they just drained the knee. And the third one, they did a fake surgery. And they just put like the little holes in there. And it turned out, and there was, I can't remember how many were in this group, exactly the same. It was exactly the same. And the placebo effect of pharmaceutical testing, again, we talked about that, the more the drug is advertised, the more the placebo effect has on the people. Okay, where he goes. This one is even more. The nocebo effect is the diagnosis and the prognosis. One of my mentors, Donnie Epstein, said, people die more of the prognosis than the actual diagnosis. And this is where the prognosis is that we're hanging on to, my bad back, my bad knee, oh, I have a weak lung, you know, I heard this from some authority, let them go. Because they are changing your process. There's a cancer patient that was autopsy that they revealed that they put him in stage 4 cancer. He didn't have any cancer in his body. And this has happened many times. They don't even have the cancer in the body, but they're dying because their doctor said, this is how many months you have to live in the process. And this is the power of diagnosis. Okay, here we go. The unconditional love. Is it with the Bernie Siegel, Love, Medicine, Miracles, talked about the power of love was by far, again, the most, and determination could overcome almost any disease. We're going to go into fun one right here. We're going real fast, okay? The power of consciousness, firewalkers, meditation and prayer, the Iceman. Do you know him? Wim Hof. Awesome. The yogis being able to control their temp, pH, pressure. These are all things that we were told we couldn't do. The firewalkers that we could walk, and the ones that it didn't work for, they burn their feet. The ones right next to them, they don't burn their feet. The power we have in there, the heart math is an institute talking about the heart coherence, how you can control it through meditation, prayer, breath. Joseph Chilton Pierce, the connection with the heart and the body, how powerful that is with the frontal lobe, blood connection. If there is fear and stress in that person's life, especially between the ages of 2 and 7, they get locked in. It can be healed, but it's quite tough. Michael Pollan, psychedelics. Is that your cousin, Mike? You did perk up, though, didn't you? Want to talk? Okay, but the psychedelics and the brain scans that they've done, they literally just light up. It's absolutely amazing what they can do with PTSD, people with opioid addictions. And again, another one of science. There was science right there. Opioids are good for you. 1,000 people die a week from, I'm sorry, 1,000 people die a week in America from prescriptions that started with opioids and ended up with on the street drugs. It's happening. This is science, right? Just like and Joe Dispenza with the brain scans that they're doing with meditation and breath work is amazing. This is our future if we want it that way. Or we can still stay in the chemical world and move on. Your thoughts become your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words become your actions. Actions are habits. Habits your values, and values your destiny. Gandhi. This is one of my favorite ones right here. You see this 3D on there? You've got to check these things out. This is a crop circle. That's a bunch of people right there. But that's it. Isn't that cool? That's an old one too. Okay. Near-death experiences. I listen to about 3 or 4, 5 a month. They're so awesome. You really get to connect. One of my favorite ones was Bruce Lipton had this woman named Nita, and she had so much cancer in her. It was popping out of her skin. She was on stage 4. She went into a coma. They told her she'd never come out. She has a near-death. She dies, comes back, and they, you know, she came back to the family. Within 2 weeks, cancer's gone. And they came back and told her. They told the family. They said, "We got some bad news for you." And they said, "What?" You said, "Well, you're the cancer. We can't find it." And they said, "Well, what's bad about that?" They said, "Well, it said we know it's in there. That's impossible. It can't disappear. We just haven't found it yet." So they thought it disappeared on them, ran away. But it's in L.A. traffic. This is my favorite. I haven't found a new one yet. But near-death experience happened thousands and thousands and thousands of times. This L.A. traffic, the person dies. And I've been in L.A., traffic backed up, people honking, they're all mad. The person comes out of the car, comes over, sees light coming out of one vehicle. The vehicle comes over, he goes down and sees the person's praying because they think something's happening. Because of that prayer, she chooses to go back into her beat-up body. She goes back in her beat-up body. She goes and tracks down the license plate that she saw when she was in her spirit mode, and thank that person for choosing her life going back. Awesome. That happens all the time. So fun. We got to dig into that stuff. Reincarnation story. One of my favorite ones. This is they actually made a movie out of it just recently. Bruce Linger. He's a soul survivor. He was a pilot in World War II. He went down and he'd be 2 years old. He started having all these memories. They brought him back. He went and met his squad crew. They found out where he went down, found his body. Cool stuff. I just ruined the movie for you. Sorry. Okay. Last thing. We okay? We're not going to get 1 minute. Wow. We're on it. Okay. Is this amazing? This thing is like 1,000 feet long. Look at this crazy stuff here. This comes on overnight. This is everyday miracle. This is unbelievable how perfect that is. This is 1,000 feet across. You see these little trees and rocks or whatever they are? My fun. But this is even more amazing. Multi-personality disorder. It's in one of the book, Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. This has happened many times too, but when a personality switches to a different personality, so do the diseases. Reports of diabetics, menstrual cycles shift, pain patterns, they all change. You don't think you could change? Well, I'll try it in a few seconds. Boom! All of a sudden they're doing the tests on them and it's not there. This is what we have available to us. We have the power within us. We have the wisdom within us to change where we want to go, the path we want to do. We get to choose our life. Vinya, again, you cannot blame your parents for everything. You can shift that process too. You can go and you can shift the process. We have that power. We have not been told to do that. We've been told that health comes in a pill, potion, and lotion. It does not come outside yourself. It might even been told that it has a somewhere else, but it does not come from out here. It's all here. It's in our heart. It's in our mind. It's in our power to change our life, to choose our life, to be who we want to be, to express the genes we want to express. Thank you.